The URL for the notes page is marketingexperimentsblog.com, and we will ask you to refresh that page several times throughout the hour this afternoon as we add some data and other notes. We will be staying in lecture mode for most of today, as we do expect a very full call. You can hit *4 to increase the volume on your line. And if you have any questions related to the presentation, we ask that you email them to questions@marketingexperiments.com, and we'll do our best to respond to those questions on the call this afternoon. You can read a brief biography of Flint McLaughlin and the other MEC analysts. That's link #1, I believe, at the bottom of your notes. And at this time, I would like to introduce Dr. McLaughlin, who will be this afternoon's primary presenter.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it very much. And our topic today is testing headlines, how optimizing your headlines can improve your website's conversion rates. And with specific number of case histories, and then we're going to drill down, helping you understand which the way to generate values to test in terms of various versions of your headline. In the world of direct mail, it's well known that a minor change in a headline can have a significant impact on response rates, but how is this different on the web, and how do you get a significant difference in results, and what are the key elements you should test regarding your headlines? And there are other questions. In fact, we're discovering that there's something you can do connected to using the web to pretest your direct mail headlines. And if you have questions about that, you may want to fire that to us, and we'll either try to talk to them later in today's session, or also possibly in the blog. Let me look, if I could, and begin right away with the case history. And this first test measured the effectiveness of 6 headlines in a multivariate campaign for an online dental site. We're going to show you all of the headlines used, and Brian's dropping those into your notes right now. And if you'll just refresh your page, you should be able to look and see the headlines themselves, 6 of them. Dental plans, the first was a site logo, the second was dental plans for $8.33 a month, acceptance guaranteed. The third one was over 55,000 dental care providers, acceptance guaranteed. The fourth one was dental care coverage, best price guaranteed. The fifth one was low-cost dental care for the uninsured. And the sixth one was best price dental care without insurance. Now, I'll invite you at various times today to respond, even via email to us. In our online certification programs, we actually use a education system tool that allows you to, you know, in live feedback. But really, we find the email for these types of calls, and we have 250 people registered for today's program, and it's the only way we can manage the traffic levels that come at us. But we pay attention to each one. We answer every question because we want to help you. And also, we pay attention to your comments and thoughts. And so one of the things that you may want to do at this moment is to consider which headline you think would be most effective and why. I think it's a valid question, because you're being asked constantly to make decisions like this. And many times, management forces you to make a decision without even the benefit of a test. And we've done studies on marketers' intuition. If you haven't read some of those studies, you may want to actually go to the lab and just do a search on marketers' intuition, and you'll immediately come, I'm sure, to the reports. But my thoughts for you now is, looking at those 6, take a moment, fire to me what you think would be the best. I'm actually going to give you about a minute to think about that and to fire some emails. You can email questions@marketingexperiments.com and just tell us which headline you think would be useful or the best. It'd be good if you identified, and you could just do it by number to save time in typing. #1, identify what you would suspect to be the best performing, and then what you suspect would be the worst performing headline. Okay. I know I'm giving you a shorter time. Let me just give you one more moment. All right. Now I'm going to drop a chart into your notes. Brian will do so, and some of you who want to appear particularly smart can wait to push the send button until after you've seen the chart, and then you can send us your thoughts and impress us all. But I would like you to look now at the chart that is in your notes, hit the refresh button on your browser, and we'll find out which headline did best. It's pretty remarkable, actually. Headline 2, increased the conversion rate of the page by more than 72%. The other headlines were markedly less successful. When you think about the headlines right now, you need to ask yourself why this other headline performed so well. We had a valid sample size. There's a valid split between the differences. This is a pretty reliable number that we're looking at. The question becomes, what made headline 2 so much better than all of the others? For this site, the low price of the service proved to be an extremely effective selling point. And by placing that information in the headline, conversion jumped by more than 70%. The guarantee perhaps also contributed to the increase in conversion, but headlines 3 and 4, which also mentioned a guarantee, did not perform as well. It is worth noting that the two top performing lines, 2 and 3, both included specific figures. I'm going to stop there for a moment and get back up on my bully pulpit and tell you again that marketing communication today needs to take place with quantified numbers, quantified statements, as opposed to qualified statements, meaning don't tell me you're fast. Tell me that an independent study tells me that you're 3.7 seconds. Don't tell me you're the largest. Tell me that you have 600,433 projects in your store as of 4 p.m. today. Give me something I can believe, because everyone else is making similar claims, and I can't tell the liars from the honest people. So we will, by default, my psychological defense network assumes that all of you are liars. In this case, the provider did not say, we have the lowest price. He gave you the exact price, and the price combined with that guarantee made the headline stronger. Selling points, and this is a key point, such as low price, large selection, money-back guarantee, and so on, can be quite effective when highlighted in the headline of a page. This is the first text a visitor will see, so it has much potential for a large impact on their psyche. This brings me to a second case, focusing on the headline. And our next retest focused exclusively on the headlines for another online company, which asked us to remain anonymous. We have research partners that we form these alliances with. We conduct a lot of research on our own projects, but we also forge research partnerships with large groups and small groups and glean data from this. And so in this particular case, the partner, a pretty large group, asked to remain anonymous, but we're able to look at the headline, and I'm grateful that they permit that. And we're able to look at the test results. So I think it's helpful. The headlines, and you can see these three, you are master and commander of a billion documents. Now, if you didn't vote the first time around, you've only got three choices here. I'd love for you to pick what you think would be the best performing headline. And I see that many of you did vote in this last round, because as I'm speaking, they're bringing me these emails in front of me, right and left, and so good. Vote on this one, because all three of these, there's some extreme differences in the three headlines. Number one, and again, refresh your notes if you're not seeing this, you are a master and commander of a billion documents. Cost-effective litigation management solutions, that's number two, beginning with cost-effective. Number three is, we sell unfair advantages. Interested. So here you have three headlines. Which one will produce the highest yield? That's the question of the moment. Send us your thoughts and also send us your questions. While you're doing that, I'll just point out that the body copy for all three test pages remained constant while the headlines rotated in an ABC split run. Traffic was generated using a Google AdWords campaign, and we measured click-throughs and leads generated for each headline. It was a lead generation campaign. All right. And you've had a moment to send us whichever number you think is best, I'm going to go on and share with you the exact results. So let's please, Brian, if you'll drop the chart in. Tell us when that's ready, Brian.
It's ready.
Now, I have staff members online, and I don't know if any of you need to input on the first or second test, but you have permission. Please, you can interrupt me at any time if you'd like to give us additional insight or data or thoughts as we're moving through this. So here we are. We're looking at the results. And in terms of conversion, headline one performed 42% better than the next best headline and 259% better than the worst. And as you can well see, the first headline, "You are master and commander of a billion documents," absolutely outpaced the competition. Now, I don't like master and commander. It feels hokey. But you know what doesn't feel hokey? A billion documents. Now, a billion is almost stretching credibility, especially when it's combined with master and commander. But compared to the other headlines, again, I had something quantifiable. I had something quantifiable, and quantifiable matters.
Yeah, Flint, this is Nick.
Yes, Nick.
I mean, when I saw these results, when I first saw that first headline, I thought, my eyebrows raised because I felt it was hokey, like you say. I think the other two headlines are not particularly strong, but I kind of anticipated that number two would win by default. I mean, it's very bland. But I just thought the master and commander would be a problem, but clearly it outpulled the others. And I think this is one of those situations in testing where your first round of testing gives you a clear indication of what you should test next. So like you're saying, with that first headline, well, there are two things. You say a billion documents. Also, we've got at the beginning of the sentence the words "you are," which I think could have had an impact. So when I see test results like this on a headline, I would go to that first one and say, okay, now, how did the hokiness work against us? How can we hold on to the strength of this first headline and maybe strengthen the center part of it or change it and see what happens? So I think a lot of companies, they'll test headlines, they'll have a clear winner, and then they'll run with that for whatever period until the next test cycle comes along. I think people need to get more into the mindset of, we'll test these headlines, and when we have a winning headline, we will then test variations of that to see what part of the headline worked for us and what part we can improve further.
Testing is a process. It's not an event. And too often, it's thought of as an event. You know, get it done so you can figure out what works. But what works even changes. And one of the things we're, I don't know if there's a link in your notes to it, but we're actually certifying marketers now on how to conduct tests properly, because we've seen such a dearth of knowledge in the marketplace, and there's no standard for best practices for testing. There's the vocabulary that I hear being used is inaccurate. People don't know the difference between a variable and a value. They don't know when a test should be done and when it should be carried on, to your point, Nick. And these are good marketers, many of them with MBAs, but they haven't been taught this, and certainly not in an internet context. And so we're training people in the certification program on that. This feels – I just mentioned it because of the need, but I'd like to move on. I'm not trying to promote that program. It's just I'm a bit – I'm passionate about the need on the internet for a more thorough approach to testing. And I think what really strikes me most in these two experiments before we move on to others is that you could have redone your entire order process and spent $500,000 doing so to get the kind of result that we're seeing here for a change in text at the top of the page. I mean, it's remarkable. And when we teach tomorrow, I'm teaching, when we teach on what order to test, one of the things you've got to realize is headline testing is one of the first things you need to do because of the fact that typically the right test is a product of what could produce the highest yield minus what the cost is to get that production. And so in some sense, this is one of the easiest changes you can make on a website. And I would expect you change a headline, get a 5% improvement, and you should be happy because it wasn't much to change that headline. But when you change a headline to get a 42% improvement, or miracle of miracles, a 70% improvement, you have you've had a breakthrough. Let me move on. Based on the average cost per click of 28 cents, headline one generated leads for $46 each, $46.04. Headline two cost $163.94 per lead, and headline three cost $64.90. Now, it's easy to let that pass. If you skip the 163, which is remarkably, I mean, it's shocking, but look at even the difference between the $46 and the 64 or the 65. One is 46.04. You can drop this in the notes, Brian. The other one is 64.90. That's a huge difference in terms of, cost per click or cost per lead. I'm sorry. So obviously headline one is the clear winner. And this headline emphasized power and control. It was numeric, and it did significantly better than headline two, which emphasized cost savings, and headline three, which played on competitive advantage. So keep thinking, and let's move on here as we move to a second round of testing. In the second round, same case, we used a separate set of three headlines focusing on a different segment of the company's core market. Many of you have to do that. Specificity is the key to conversion. I was speaking at the Sherpa conference in Chicago this past week. So was Nick. Nick, by the way, joined our team because of his expertise in copywriting. He's involved in all of these types of tests with copy and email and so on. And at any rate, we were both were speaking at this conference, and one of the things that kept coming up is how critical it is to segment your list. And I mentioned to Ann Holland that the big reason that's so important is because the specificity converts. The more specific your offer to the audience, the higher the conversion. Now, in our second round of testing, we use these headlines, and Brian's dropping them in your notes. Tell me when they're ready, Brian.
You should be ready to go.
Okay. In our second round of testing, 4 and 5 and 6. 4 was an essential resource when corporate clients tell you they have 2 million documents or 2 million documents to be reviewed. Number 5 was say yes when a client asks you to review 5 million separate documents. And say yes when a client asks you to review 5 million separate documents and smile. That's the only difference in the 6th headline. Body copy, again, was constant for all of these. And while only the headline changed, we measured the number of unique visits and the number of leads generated by each offer. Here's what's interesting now. There's a chart. I'm going to ask Brian to go ahead and drop it in your notes.
Okay, that'll be just 2 seconds.
Okay.
Should be there now.
Okay. Headline 5, outpooled the next best headline by 28%. That's significant, nearly a third. Headline 6 was a dismal failure, generating no leads whatsoever. That makes almost no sense to me. It got clicks, but it didn't get leads. And I can't, personally, it makes me wonder if there's an instrumentation error between 6 and 5, because the addition of and smile doesn't seem like it's significant to mitigate against all leads. And when I see something like that in a test, I look for a validation error. And in some cases, that validation error is something we call instrumentation. And that means that something about the conduct of the test itself, the way it was conducted, might have mitigated the result. Either way, though, it's clear that 5 is your winner. And based on the average cost per click of 0.31 cents, headline 4 generated leads for $41.70, while 5 generated them for $32.65. Now, wow, the numbers are getting better. If you'll stop and think, in the last test, the best performing headline was at $46. We're now down to $32.65 a lead. By the way, prior to this testing, and I can only say this as a point to you that are involved in marketing experimentation, the company estimated, because they didn't have good records, but they estimated that a good lead cost them about $1,000 or more. There's some reason to believe it cost a great deal more.
Yeah, Polenta, I was just going to mention to put those figures of like $35, et cetera, within context. This is what the company is selling is an extremely expensive service.
Yes.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars. So that some people may feel that $35 sounds like a high cost per lead, but for this kind of service, it's nothing at all.
And I'll tell you something, we'll talk about this, and Nick, I'd like you to think about this in a research project coming up, add it to the slate. But I think really that the subheader underneath the headline is also incredibly critical. And there's almost nothing written and almost no testing being done on that second headline, which is typically a larger font than the body text and a smaller font than the main headline. Because if I had used the headline that we just reviewed, let's take the one that we've just number five that just won. And I'll go backwards in my notes here to read it to you. Read it to me, Nick, please.
The second headline?
Yes.
Say yes when a client asks you to review 5 million separate documents.
Now, when they came to that, so let's suppose that was the headline on the offer page.
Yeah.
My subtext or my header underneath that might say something like, here's how Exxon Corporation, you know, if I had permission to get away with this, for all the strategy, there's so many strategic reasons I would say something like this. Here's how Exxon Corporation used and the name of my product, use product X to manage 4,633,000 documents.
Right.
You see how that does a number of things. It immediately gives them this quantifiable number. It gives enormous credibility because you name a major brand. I'm thinking of the Exxon Pennzoil suit.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking of that. I just pull that out of the air.
There's another moment of learning here, and that is if we go back and have a look at the master and commander of a billion documents, where you quite rightly said that a billion stretches credibility.
Yes.
Five million is accurate. The service does handle 5 million documents. So, again, a really quick retest of the master and commander is, like you say, to get more specific, more realistic, and talk about how a particular company took control of or managed, like 4,773,000 documents.
That's absolutely right. That's exactly right.
Going back to your earlier point, I would love to do, and well, you're the expert on this, I imagine it would take a multivariate test of testing the entire sequence, linear sequence of an offer page from headline to the opening subhead, first paragraph, second paragraph, first subhead, and to do you see what I'm saying?
Is
to do a multivariate on that and find the exact best sequence and presentation of message. And also, there's a whole different area here which I don't think people are testing maybe at all, and that is the design, the presentation of these lines, like particularly on the headline. A headline, once people have run through these tests and they've retested and have the headline they think is going to be absolutely, as good as they can get for now, then to me the next group of tests looks at how do we present this headline visually? How can we design this page to best present the headline? Because for sure, if you move the headline a little bit, if you put an image next to it, if you change the font size, change the color, it will have an impact. And unless you test, you won't know what that impact is.
And in fact, in a minute, I'm going to break down those precise elements that you're talking about, Nick. It's not in the notes for the conference, but I've added them because I think it will be helpful to our audience. So it's a very valid point. I should point out something else, too. In the case of lead generation, and we need to do a separate report just on lead generation. In the case of lead generation, an increase on clicks does not necessarily translate into an increase on of quality per leads. Typically, there's just the opposite going on. The more people you can get to participate, the lower the quality of the lead. a lead that comes in through a horrible system is often a better lead. I don't mean horrible in the sense that they quantified the wrong person, but horrible in the sense that there's a lot of friction or difficulties in achieving the lead. The problem that happens with companies who are doing lead generation, and they test, and they get, and they're afraid that if so they open the floodgate, now they get 1,000 unqualified leads, that's going to hurt them, is they don't understand that there's a two-step process to testing for lead generation. The first step qualifies the quantity of leads, but you can always take them from that through a second web page, through a second engine that quickly narrows it down to the quality leads. And if you don't separate quantity from quality, you'll never know. You'll never really know what how to experiment properly with the best quality lead, because in the end, it comes down to how much revenue you generate at the other end of the pipeline. And so you literally need to break your lead generation down into two components. One is the quantity of leads that you're getting, and the other is the quality of the leads, and you can test those independently, and that might be something we need to teach in a different clinic. But
one thing I can share, just because I was working on this particular test, is that in the second sequence, we were, and this is a tip maybe people can think about whether it applies to their company in lead generation, we were asking ourselves this question: how can we maximize the number of leads but make sure they're qualified? And we did one very simple thing, and that is within the body text on the page in the second sequence, we had I put in a sentence which basically said, our service is used by companies like, and then listed the names of a number of companies so that readers can immediately look at that and say, oh, okay, well, obviously I'm not that kind of company, or I'm not, you know, I'm not that big, or I'm not that small, or, and so it was a way to flag to people we weren't saying, hey, we're only looking for companies like this, but in a more passive way, by saying who are, you know, who their clients were, it gave people an indication of whether they kind of fit the mold or not.
Good. That's superb. That's a good point. And I'm going to move on because I'm sure all of us aren't in lead generation, but I think the point regarding headlines is critical for all of us. It's let's look at this. We tested, finally, in a new test, we tested the best headline from each of the last two tests. Now, you recall headline one in the test prior to this was the best. Headline five was the next, and the next test was the winner. So we tested to both audiences combined. In addition to changing the headline on each page, we also drove traffic to the pages using a different Google AdWords ad, focusing on bringing in targeted traffic to each. Now, again, when you do that, and it was done properly, but if you're not careful when you do that, you can have a validation error. So you have to be cautious. If you're a tester, be careful about these components. Anything new you introduce, but if it was done evenly and correctly, then it's possible that you can still get a valid result. We measured the number of unique visits, leads generated, and cost per lead for each headline. And Brian, if you'll drop that chart in, I'm going to let them see which headline won.
Okay.
All right, so hit the refresh button on your phone. And once you've done that, you should be able to see what happened. This is a very detailed chart. It's really quite smart. Bottom line, headline five had a much lower cost per lead. Nick, I have a question for you. What do you know why headline one's cost per lead went up? Does anybody that was involved that test, can you tell me why it jumped so high?
No, I don't know. I don't know why there was that sudden increase in the cost there. The only thing was is that the second test was run against a combined list of both audiences.
Okay, there you go. All right.
So it wasn't as specific in terms of its audience. So that may well have had an impact there.
And you know, testing is an approximation. In the end, it's because all you're dealing with is probabilities as to what's going to happen in the future based on a historic event that you've recorded. But I would suggest personally that a test like this needs to be run again to validate, and it's really quite simple to run it again, but to validate those numbers. I think you'll find, I think from my own experience, you'll find that this headline 5 will outperform 1 consistently. And so I think in some sense you've arrived at a right conclusion. But even I say this to those that are listening, to our own staff, because we're so concerned about doing this right. Bear in mind that you've got to be cautious that, again, you don't conflate variables. So the conversion rates were nearly identical, but headline 1 generated leads at a cost nearly 3 times that of headline 5. And the pay-per-click ad copy for headline 5 also had a much higher click-through rate, which resulted in Google giving the ad more weight and generating more impressions. I think the point of all three of these cases is that one test you can perform with a minimal amount of development is headline testing. And that test can have such a high yield, it may be one of your very best options when you're trying to improve the performance on your site. I say that to suggest this. It's not enough for us to tell you that if we can't help you figure out how to conduct these tests, or at least what to test. We teach you how to do that in the certification, but let me help you right now understand what I would do if I were contemplating a headline test right now. And I'm going to give you some tips or some insights that our team has developed, and then I'm going to actually break down how to think about headlines, okay? This is number one, and Brian will drop these into your notes. Be aware of your testing options. Basic A-B testing and multivariate testing allow different levels of flexibility and specificity, as we saw in these examples. A-B testing allows you to focus exclusively on headlines, while multivariate testing allows you to test other page elements simultaneously. You can understand the advantages and the disadvantages by looking at our two reports, which are free, on this subject, A-B split testing and multivariate testing. Just go to the site and study the difference. I would suggest that in most multivariate tests, which is actually just a multifactorial type experiment where you're testing a number of variables, I would be very cautious about drawing conclusions about headlines from a lot of the multivariate test designs or multivariable test designs, because in actuality, I guess I don't want to complicate things on the phone, but if you're testing 6 different elements and varieties of combinations and a headline works well in one given combination, it is not necessarily true that it will work well when you combine it with the winning combination from all your other variable tests that you took place simultaneously through the math of a multivariate test. In fact, I would polish off my multivariate with a quick A-B split test to make sure that the headline is the right test, because I find that headlines are particularly sensitive to what's surrounding them, particularly what they read before they came to your site, and then the context of the site itself. And I think some elements are more sensitive than others. For instance, if you're testing color, clearly, there are two or three colors where you'll see a difference, but typically a minor difference. Well, on the other hand, there's a number of colors in the spectrum which will absolutely destroy conversion. And you need to know that. And it's not always what you expect. For instance, in direct mail offline, in the past, many times it's been shown that a direct mail piece written in a courier font or in an ugly font on a relatively ugly yellow piece of paper will outperform a slick glossy. Now, I'm not saying that's the case for you. Many of you who have had experience know that there's exceptions. I'm just saying in general, and I found it to be the case in tests that I've run. Let me go on to number 2. Identify effective phrases using Google AdWords or other pay-per-click search engines. On the pay-per-click search engines, ad copy can be tested to optimize CTR quite easily. On Google AdWords, for example, multiple ads can be created in the same ad group to test a variety of ad copy approaches. And the best ad copy can then be isolated and optimized even further. Kind of relates to a question that came in. And again, send your questions. We're watching and reviewing all of them. And we're going to try to answer all that we can on the phone right now. And if we can't get them now, we'll email you an answer, get it in the blog. One of the questions was from David. And he says, do you find a correlation between the success of an email headline and one used in a pay-per-click ad, such as Google or Overture? David, the long answer is, I'll give you the short answer first. Yes, I do find a correlation. Yes, I think pay-per-click is a wonderful way to test a headline. just bear in mind the sensitivity of headlines to the context in which they are viewed, and think about that when you're planning your email. If your email is coming to an audience that doesn't recognize the sender, then, you know, your headline may help, but it may be more important to use your headline to help the audience connect or remember the sender. That, of course, goes to your subject line also. For instance, if you're mailing to a large list an offer that doesn't know you by name because you're a sister company, but you have legal permission to mail to them, you need to say, your headline needs to connect to something identifying you to that particular crowd that you're mailing to, or else you don't have very much chance of the body being read. My point would be, in general, I think there's principles and good headlines can be learned in pay-per-click and applied even offline, but be aware of special considerations. So I'll go on. By identifying effective phrases via pay-per-click and ad copy testing, you are able to translate those better performing campaigns into other areas, and better performing headlines into other areas. And so that summarizes what we've already discussed in that regard, and let me move on then. By the way, we did a whole report on testing ad copy for pay-per-click, and you can get that at no cost too. It's on our site, and feel free to get it and use it. Number three, leverage your unique value proposition. If your website has a truly unique value statement, you should not ignore it when writing your headlines. Additionally, the same principle of creating an effective value proposition will help you write well, highly converting, headlines that convert well. And number four, test a group of very different headlines. Cast aside all assumptions about what the best headline might be. This will mean writing and testing a broad variety of headlines, all of them significantly different. Can I just comment on that for a moment? I'm holding a rather thick stack of your votes as they've been coming in. And let me just make a note here. I'm sorting questions. They're bringing them to me, and I'm sorting some questions as I'm speaking to you so that I can try to answer those that we can answer in the time that we have on this call and make sure that I answer all that I possibly can. But let me just suggest this as I move over to this side. This thick stack of replies, which I'm grateful for, indicates that the large majority of our audience did not pick the best headlines. And so if you got the chart in and you thought, my goodness, I blew it, you're in good company. And I just want to say that you can take somebody's experience as Nick is the world's greatest copywriting genius. Nick, I'm certifying that right now on the telephone.
can you quantify that for me?
No, Nick is good, but I'll guarantee you he cannot pick the best headline every time. I mean, because none of us can. You need to test it. So go with the radical headlines and pay attention to the one that somebody doesn't want to run. That's probably the one you need to test. It's some of these unusual headlines that will surprise you.
Well, and that's a good point with headline testing, I think, is you use your best knowledge and your best instincts and your experience from previous tests and everything else you've done, and then you add in one crazy one. And in a sense, the Master and Commander was the crazy one in that test, and we learned something from it.
And I'll tell you something else, too. And this is about test design. If you're doing – see, you're still doing single-variable testing when you test six headlines at the same time. Some people are confused, and they think that's multivariable. No, the variable is the headline. The value is the version of the headline, the various, types of copy. And what you need to understand is that in a multivariable test, you're testing all kinds of variables like the headline. You might be testing the pieces of the body copy, opening text, graphic, logo, page layout. All those are elements. But you can use a single variable test and test six versions of your headline. In any event, when you're testing more than two, certainly more than three, add a wild card. I call it, you know, a radical B or radical C version, but add a wild card for the very reason that it may cause you to, it may jolt your thinking. And I also think it's great in a company, if you're doing this, to hold a competition, a friendly competition, you know, who buys lunch. You're going to get some creative work when you do those types of things, if you do it in the, you know, in the right way. All right, now, let's drill down. My time is almost up, but I think I really want to try to take the last few minutes and just help you know how to think about a headline. I don't think you're going to find this. This is information that is not on our site, and it's information that's hard to find anywhere, but it really is an analysis of the components of a headline. And I'm going to go back to that. Kim asked a question, though. Let me give you this breakdown, but let me answer this question from Kim. Was the winner by a statistically significant amount, i.e. the 61% versus the 0.43? Yes, it was, Kim, and I could go into the validation formula behind it, but it was not just for the split between 61 and 43, but for the number of actions that were measured. So the answer is yes. And there is a question from Greg, and Greg, I am not sure I understand your question. So if you'll send it with a little more explanation, it's Greg Mate. If you send it with a little more explanation, we'll try to answer that for you. Let me talk about headlines with you, okay? First thing you do when you write a headline is ask yourself, what is the objective of the headline? It's always the first thing you do with every piece of marketing that you ever create. What is the objective? We mostly fail because we have conflicting objectives, because we haven't asked the right question. If we ask the right question, it forces us to think through the process. And the most important question to start with, what's the objective of this headline? In many cases, it's to get them to read the first paragraph. Now, you better know your objective. If it's to get them to read the first paragraph, then you need to ask yourself, what is the obstacle? What is the obstacle that will keep them from reading the first paragraph? Because believe me, they are reading only to discover an excuse to quit reading. When you give people an overwhelming amount of options, they do not move into an acquisition mode. They move into, in terms of acquiring information, they move into an elimination mode, in terms of eliminating information options, so they can finally settle down on the one that might have promise. Use your headline and understand that. And you've got only two ways to accomplish the objective. One is the message, and the other is the tone. And you need to understand that when I say tone, many people say, what do you mean by tone? Read a Corey Riddell headline. Corey's gone, but there's a tone in his headlines. I don't like the tone. I don't like it. It might be effective. It feels like a carnival hawker, but it is a distinct tone, and clearly it's worked well enough, or it worked well enough historically. I think that tone works with less and less effect, and it's, right now in our experiments, especially B2B, that hype-type tone is not effective. Is your tone, are you going for alarm? Are you going for excitement? Are you going for sincere? These are types of tones.
But I mean, if I can, to put what you're saying another way, as a copywriter, one of the things I've said to other copywriters for many years is you spend 90% of your time figuring out what to say and 10% of your time figuring out how to say it. And the mark of a lot of junior, inexperienced copywriters is that they reverse that. They become so self-concerned about how they're going to say it. They want to write a glamorous, interesting, exciting headline, and they spend far too little time on thinking about what to say. And to my mind, it's like for any copywriter, if you just give that 90% to what it is you need to say and then leave the how to say it until afterwards.
I'm not sure even that what we're going to say, all of this is going to make it into the report that we release. So you may want to really get notes on what I'm talking about now. It's not in Brian's notes to add and refresh. But listen, what Nick just said is very important, and it ties in with these three primary elements you're going to use to accomplish your objective. You're going to use message, tone, and appearance. We've talked about tone by simply saying there is a certain voice tone in the feel of the headline. But let me go on to the message. What kind of message do you want to send is critical, not just the information itself. Is it a promise? Are you raising a question? Are you making a claim? Now, you've got to, when I'm designing headlines to test, I don't want to just sit down and dream up six headlines. I want to think about it. I want to understand, okay, let's try a claim headline against this promise headline. Let's try a question headline. Question headlines can be very effective. If your objective is to get them to read the first paragraph, think about your question. One of the most unique approaches to headlines is done by the Wall Street Journal. And they have these almost nonsensical, thought-provoking headlines they use on their front page. I'm talking about the print edition of the journal that makes you think and engage. Obviously, it's worked for them. I'm not suggesting that's what you do every time. And there are other types of messages, but three of the most prominent are the promise, the question, and the claim.
And I would be, with regard to the question,
yes.
A very important guideline on that is be absolutely, totally sure that you know the answer to the question that your audience will hear in their own mind, how they will respond. I was watching a TV ad the other day that kept asking questions, and I sat there, and they asked the first question. I just said out loud, no. It was something like, would you like to know how to? And I just said, no. And I found myself, I just ended up laughing because they asked about four questions in a row, and each time I just said, no. So you've got to be very careful with the question that doesn't happen, that you need to form your questions so that you have as close as you can get to a certainty that the answer, the way they respond in their mind, is the response, you know, is the response you're looking for.
Yes. I'm going to move a little bit faster because there's really good questions coming in that I think will help you also. Some people have raised smart questions. But Nick is right. I'll tell you something. The wrong question is antagonistic often and will provoke the response you don't want. So be careful, but a question can be very good, particularly when you relate it to a specific need or when you relate it to a specific interest. Drive either at needs or at interests. Often you start with interests and you move towards needs. When I say needs, I'm not distinguishing categorically the difference between needs and wants. At the moment, I'm speaking of them as the same. As you know, if you're a copywriter, there is a difference. But right now, I'm just talking about that compelling urge that someone has and that they perceive they have. Sometimes I use interest to wake up a need. All right, so let's move on quickly to another key element here, and that is the appearance. If you've got the right message and you've got the right tone, then there are ways that you can use appearance of the headline to strengthen the tone or to capture more attention. But one of those ways is color. The other is size. The other is motion, which I don't like, but still it's one of the ways. And another is font. I would even go a step further and say position is another element, but in the particular case of a headline, it's generally in the key position. However, many of you, if you're not careful, make the danger I see often on the internet, or make the mistake I see on the internet frequently, and that is they have their headline crunched too close to their banner, or they put their headline in a box and people think it's a banner ad. A headline should look like a headline. Do not get it confused. And you can use headlines even when you're writing key sales letters. You just use the headline. You might have an abstract. It's not really an abstract, but it's the two really important reasons or three really important reasons this they should continue to read. And then you get the personal touch by writing the letter afterwards, dear so-and-so, you know, dear reader, dear this, dear that. A personal letter, by the way, is still an incredibly effective way to create an offer page. Don't sell it short. It outperforms so many things we try over and over and over again. I'd also tell you something else, and this is just a headline clinic, but you're going to see conversion improve if you'll get that navigation off the page that your primary offer is on. You might have something minimal at the bottom, but you don't want them, once they hit your offer page, why are you giving them all these other places to go to? Drive them to the objective. The biggest mitigator against good conversion is conflicting objectives. That's the problem with old sites. That's the problem with big sites. That's the problem with portals. It's the one thing Google got right at the beginning. They said, we're a search engine. Come here and search for something. And they got everything out of the way that would keep you from searching. All right, so I'm going to just address a few of these questions that are coming in. What number of – and I'm going to need my team to help me with some of these. Sarah, just separate out the questions for me from – I'm just talking to my assistant. Don't separate them from the opinions and things coming in so I don't lose any time here. What number of pay-per-click ad impressions do we need to get an accurate result? That's from Kate Williams. Kate, that's a validity question. We can talk to you about that. We have a spreadsheet that automatically calculates validity for you, and we teach that in the certification class that we do. But it's I'm not taking your question to make an – in fact, I feel a little guilty bringing up the class. I'm not trying to sell a class. I'd love for the right people to take the certification program, of course. But the point is I bring it up because I just think there's a need for people to really learn this and not just charge off without having been trained. But validation is a huge issue, and a valid sample size is a very important issue. And if you'll email us, we might correspond with you privately to help you a little bit with that, Kate, and because it's a complicated question. I have a question from April. It says, maybe I missed something, but how are you testing these headlines on Google AdWords when the AdWords limitation is 35 characters? I think the answer is that we weren't testing most of these headlines in Google AdWords. We were using Google AdWords to drive traffic to the headlines. Is that correct, gentlemen, from my team?
Yes.
Okay. So that's where you hear us mentioning AdWords. And someone else said, I noticed that most of the headlines are quite long, and it lists them. And I think their question is, do long headlines produce I have to imply this because the question isn't precisely clear, but do long headlines, you know, is that an effective approach? I think it's a very effective approach done properly. It's more important to say the right thing than it is to say it to be clever or to say something short and distinct. Where we make the huge mistake with that is our slogans. You know, it's not about being your slogan should not just be clever, nor should your company name. It should be the best names and slogans communicate your value proposition, what's distinct about you, and they promise a benefit all in one swoop. There's very few like that, but I can give you an example. Overnight mail or overnight express, you know, what is it? Overnight, what's the name of the competitor for FedEx? Team members, somebody?
I know exactly the one you're thinking of.
Fred Smith started FedEx, but the whole concept of overnight mail, boom. It's the value proposition is in there. The benefit is in there. It's all in that little – it's you could say the same with marketing experiments. There's a lot of marketing journals on the in the world, but there really isn't anybody conducting the primary research and disseminating the way we are. And we tested our name. We didn't just come up with it. And it would help. This is true now. On a against about 50 names tested side by side, we would pull 10 to 1 subscribers. And even now, Nick was speaking to me this past week about a co-reg experiment we're running. And even now, what is it pulling? It's out pulling the other names by how much, Nick?
Well, the average across a whole slew of co-registration publishers with their newsletters was. I believe it was around 40%, and last time I looked, we were converting 52%. So that's people signing up for someone else's newsletter, seeing our newsletter mentioned on the thank you page, and 50% of those people were signing up for our newsletter as well.
The name is – I remember people saying to me, well, the name is a bit long. No. If we just said marketing test, people thought we'd like test market products. We had to say experiments, and, you know, it works. So let's move on. But the question is, are long headlines effective? They can be. It depends on the content, but I wouldn't be afraid to use them when the content is right.
Yeah, absolutely. And the length of the headline is, you know, determined by what you want to say, but also it's determined by how good the headline is. If you can, if what was that classic headline of when I first sat down to play at the piano, everyone laughed, but when I started to play. It was selling lessons for learning the piano. Very long headline. It was like 30, 40 words, but one of the best headlines of all time. So it's a matter of how good it is. Yeah, I don't feel constricted. Don't feel you have to be snappy and clever. That's the worst thing.
Absolutely, that is correct. I am out of time. I've got some more questions, and we're going to answer all of those. Lyle, I see your question. And Steve, and just I just want you to know, and Kate, we're going to send you more information. We will get information related to your questions out to you personally. We're trying to do everything we can to help you. I'm going to be creating a survey that we'll ask you sometimes to complete after a clinic so you can tell us what we did right and what we did wrong and help us to improve it for you. But it's not ready because we have so many things and projects and tests that are going on right now. So if you could just take a moment to shoot us an email and tell us if today was helpful and what you liked most about it or least about it, it would be wonderful. I really believe that I need to hear from you. I need to understand what you're thinking, or else we can't craft these clinics so that they're as helpful as possible, and that's our goal.
It would be great to hear what people felt we missed today.
Yeah.
Was there something people were hoping to hear or learn about that we didn't touch on?
And I want to know that, and I want to help you with that. And then also, please understand, because sometimes I get questions. We're dealing with a whole gamut of expertise in terms of beginners to experts. It's very difficult for us to project how complicated to get with you in these clinics. And so we're learning as we learn who you are and what the majority of you want the most. Thank you so much for your trust. Please tell a friend about us, and we'll keep giving you all this information, and we'll try to keep giving it to you free. Thank you. You take care.